I want to start at John chapter 7, and I'm just going to use that as kind of a launching point. But in John chapter 7, if you want to follow Galatians 5, 16 through 26 is really where you want to stay. But if you're good with your sword drill and you want to flip all around, go for that. But we're going to start at John chapter 7, verse 37. And it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as of yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet was not yet glorified. So this passage, this paints this picture of life in Christ, of what life in Christ is supposed to be look like, and it's one that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you think of the metaphor of this living water, I think of abundance. I think of power as that the water is going forward, and I think of life-giving. And there's a couple of thoughts when I read this passage. I'll just be brutally honest. I look at that passage and I go, did Jesus really mean that? Did he mean that? And if he did, when I look at the church around the world, I say, where's all the water? Shouldn't there be some more water? Shouldn't it be that we're like so immersed in Christ that people around us are at least getting sprinkled? they're at least getting wet as they come by us. And so I have to ask myself this question, and it's probably a good question to ask yourself. Is my life one of abundance? Abundance in Christ. Is it one that is life-giving? Is it one that is empowering others towards Christ, towards the gospel? And a question I have to ask, not if it's not, but when it's not, why is it not that? What is going on in my life? What's going on in your life when that's not the picture? Because Jesus said that's what it's going to be like. And so I got to go back and say, okay, why is it not like that? So one of the complaints I've heard over time is people say, I don't go to church because it's not practical. It doesn't connect with my everyday life. Well, these next 2 weeks, I want to get super practical and say, how does this fit into my life? How do I live this out? Because there's got to be more than, I mean, that worship time is really cool, by the way. I mean, that's awesome. But there's got to be more than just us gathering, right? I mean there's got to be something that empowers us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's not just a Sunday thing, but there's something going on in our lives that people look at and they say, I want what they have. And so I want to look at these last two chapters in Galatians. And we want to look at how do I actually live out this Christian life? What does this look like throughout real life? I'm guessing most of you have real life. You have real issues. You have real problems. You have real concerns and battles. And so how do we face those battles? Now, here's something I believe, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, here's something we're going to discover through God's Word. Everything we look for is found in a relationship with God the Father that's made possible through His Son and is lived out by His Spirit. And I want you to think that through. You have what you need. God has already given us what we need. We just need to tap into that. So let's walk through Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. And the Bible reads this. At verse 16 it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh."
Right.
I like how the Bible lays this out. It describes the Christian life as an intentional walk. And when I think about walk, that tells me that my faith is not static. At least it shouldn't be. Sometimes we are. We'll talk about, having faith in Christ and what have you, and we'll say, oh yeah, I did that. I did that back then. No, it's a walk. Think about that. How do we do this? We don't sit in the Spirit. We don't stand in the Spirit, and we stand on the promises, but we walk after the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. So it is ongoing. It is moving. I was talking to someone earlier today. My dad was born with muscular dystrophy. And over his lifetime, he's come to the place that, like in the last couple decades where he cannot walk at all. He's in a motorized wheelchair, and complications that come along with that. But when he was a child, his parents began to notice that, hey, sometimes when he runs, he falls down and he has trouble walking. Now, what would a good parent do if you notice your child had trouble walking? You take him to a doctor, right? And you'd say, why is my child not walking? Because you know that unless you're injured, unless you have some disease or what have you, that this is a normal process. Listen, spiritually speaking, walking by the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, that is normal Christianity. That is normal. And so when I'm not walking after the Spirit, I have to think, okay, what's going on? And what's hindering me? Is there disease? Is there sickness? Is there something that needs to be dealt with? Now, how do I practically experience this? How do I practically walk by the Spirit? Well, let me give you a short answer by John Piper, and then we'll go through this passage here. John Piper says this: you walk by the Spirit when your heart is resting in the promises of God. So we're talking about faith here, right? We've been talking this the whole thing. Where's the battle? The battle is in belief. Do I believe that God is, His word is true? Do I believe His promises are true? That's the beginning. That's how I walk after the Spirit. He says, the Spirit reigns over the flesh in your life when you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself up for you and now is working everything together for your good. I have to do that. With the battles I face, I got to go back and say, do I believe God is good? Do I believe what He says is true? Now, let me ask you this. For those of you that don't walk by the Spirit 24/7, okay, that you have these moments where you fail or you fall. Well, let me ask you this. Let's say you're leaving here today, you're giving your hugs and your kisses, and you're picking up your bread and you're leaving, and you trip and fall on the ground. What are you going to do?
Get up.
Now, those of you that are younger, you're going to look around, hope nobody saw you, and you're going to jump right back up. And you're going to walk out, you're going to pick up something on the floor like you meant to do that. Right? Now, some of the rest of us, we're going to check and make sure we're okay, everything's all right. But we're going to get up again. We don't stay down. Right? But how many times do we do that in the spiritual realm? Where something happens and we go, you know what, I'm never going to beat this sin. I'm never going to have victory here. I can't do this. And you know what I'm really saying is, God, I don't trust you enough. And granted, I get it. I get it where I look and I go, God, that's impossible. He's like, great, we're on the same page. It is impossible by your flesh to overcome that. That's why I gave you my Holy Spirit. We don't stay on the ground. And you say, well, when I get up, It hurts. Yeah. I'm 51 years old. I know that hurts when you fall. And you get up and you go, man, I'm going to get used to that pain because it's going to be around for 10 years or more. But sometimes that happens spiritually. Sometimes there's consequences. And there's pain in there. But what I do, I get up and I confess. Go ahead. Here's why I went wrong, God. And it is not to enlighten God, okay? When we speak to God, we're not telling him something he doesn't know. We're coming into agreement with him. And that's confession. And then when I say, okay, Lord, I was walking after my flesh. I'm going to stand up now by your power, by your strength. I'm going to walk in this direction. That is now walking by the Spirit. That's confession. That is repentance. And that is God transforming our lives as we do that. Now, why is this important? Verse 17. Listen, and you got to get this. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. All right, so there's two opposing forces in your life. And one of them is going to direct your life. You're either going to have a life that is directed by your flesh, your desires, your will, or you're going to have a life that is directed by the Spirit. Now let me explain this battle, because some of the translations make it a little confusing. Some translations translate that word flesh. They translate it as sinful nature, and they don't talk to me when they make these translations. I think that's a theological interpretation and not a true translation. The word is sart, which means flesh. And Thomas Constable, he says this about flesh. He says, this verse does not present two natures fighting each other inside the Christian. He says, but there are two conflicting entities, our God's Holy Spirit and the believer's flesh. Let me define flesh. And actually, let me give you kind of this. What do they call that when you flip the word around and you go backwards? If you turn flesh around, it's H self. And a flesh is somebody that's living for his self or himself or herself. That's flesh. But let me give you a less Dawnism. Flesh is part of us that attempts to have its needs met apart from God or by God's empowerment. Wow. You've been there, done that? Have your needs met apart from God. Isn't that the problem all the way back in the garden? Think about that. There's this great relationship, everything is good. And there's this temptation. For God knows the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. It's an appeal to the flesh. It's saying, you don't have to go to God. You can do your own thing apart from God. It's flesh, and it doesn't end well. And if somebody's got a testimony, talk to me about how you followed after your own flesh and ran away from God and things worked out really well. Talk to me. I might let you come up here. Let's go back to the Galatian church. What was going on in the Galatian church? There were people that were suggesting you have right standing with God by following the law. And that's legalism. And what does legalism say? It means by our own power, we can earn God's favor. We nullify what Christ did on the cross. We nullify the Holy Spirit working in us. And we say, no, thanks, I got this. That is flesh. Doesn't that sound exactly like flesh? Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we have pretty flesh and we have ugly flesh. And sometimes the legalist kind of looks kind of pretty. Like, you know, he kind of follows the rules. He's a rule keeper. Here's all the rule breakers. You know what these two have in common? The same source. It's not spirit and power. Nothing wrong with obeying the rules. I would suggest as you drive out here, you obey some of those, okay? But be spirit empowered. Don't miss, I mean, here's the reality. You were created in God's image. You were created to flourish. You were created to be blessed by God, and God has things that he wants to pour into your life. And you know how we miss out on them? By pursuing them on our own strength.
Amen.
Instead of going to God and receiving what he gives for us. Let me reread this so we get this straight. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. You, the road you're on there, if you're walking after the flesh, it doesn't get here. They are opposed to each other. And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. You want to fight the flesh? You do it in the spirit. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Okay? The spirit opposes the flesh. They are opposed to each other, keeping you from doing the things you want to do. You know, that's kind of a bummer there. You think about that. Why do I walk after the flesh? Because there's something I want. There's something I desire. And God says, that road's not going to get you what you want. It will ultimately let you down. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I kind of expect Paul to say that if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the flesh, but he says you're not under the law. I'm not going to argue with him because he's biblically inspired here. But here's his point. His point is Christians do not overcome the desires of the flesh by remaining under the law. Think about it. They were advocating that, okay, here's how you overcome the flesh. You have all these rules in there. That doesn't do it. That doesn't do it. Christian character is not mere moral or legal correctness, but is possession and manifestation of the graces of God working through us, are in us through the Holy Spirit. Understand what I'm saying there? It's about God's Holy Spirit working in us and through us and going out. It's not a matter of, do I follow all the rules? You want to follow the rules? Do it by the Spirit. Let the Spirit work through you. The Spirit is really good at being godly, okay? The Spirit is God. Allow the Spirit to work through you. Now, Paul moves in. He moves into this list, because if you were really cool until now, you look at this and you go, uh-oh. Verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity. Now a bunch of the legalistic guys right here are going, I'm cool, I'm with you. And Paul continues, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Those are the things that I had to tell my kids when they were younger, when I would say, don't do these things, and then I'd have to add it, and things like these. Okay? But Paul says, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things, or some translations say, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul just got serious here. And let me give you a couple quick warnings as we look at this passage, because there's another passage in 1 Corinthians 6, and it has a similar list of vices. And one of the tendencies we have, I'm not sure why we do this as people, but usually what we do is we pick out a couple things on that list. And there are things that we don't do, something I don't struggle with. And what we'll do is we'll say, man, these people over here, they're all going to hell because they practice this one vice. And the truth is, if you search this list long enough and you're really honest, you're going to find something in there. You're going to say, man, I I struggle with that one. That's something in my life. Man, what a... Now, if that's true, is the same thing I'm saying about this guy over here? Is that now true of me? And so let me give you a second warning, is to not ignore this list. You know, because you go, well, certainly everybody's not going to hell. I mean, that's not what this passage means. So I'm cool. I'm just going to walk in this. And I think Paul's saying, look, this stuff is destructive. Sin is destructive in my life. Sin destroys the fabrics of community. You think about that, you look at these things, and man, this destroys these relationships. You throw this in here, and we're a complete mess. Now, one of the things we need to look at is that concept, or that word of practice. This is kind of a... I think what Paul's saying is those that habitually say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to ignore the Spirit. I think Paul's saying, I'm not sure you have the Spirit. You know, and so we got to go back and say, okay, am I disregarding what God has? Is He my Lord and Savior? You know, or did I say a prayer and people put some water on me? You know, we got to go back to that. Now Paul says this in Corinthians, in the other passage I was talking about, Corinthians 6. And he says, such were some of you. In other words, I can look at that list and go, man, that was me. Not only did I practice it, I didn't even think about it. I mean, that was weird to me when I became a Christian and somebody said, well, do you know this is a sin? All my friends do that. How can that be a sin? You know, and I go back. And so I could read this passage and go, such were some of you. Yeah, that was me. But you were washed. Listen, this is speaking to you, church. Those of you that have the Spirit of God in you, you've called upon Jesus as Lord and Savior, and His Spirit lives in you. He says, you were washed. You were sanctified. Sanctified means you are set apart. You are set apart for a purpose. You, as an individual, you are set apart for a purpose. I believe as a church, we are set apart for a purpose in this community. You are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justifies, just as I have not sinned. It's I have right standing before God. I'm no longer this person. I'm a new creature in Christ. He says, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit of God. John tells us this in 1 John. He says, 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you sit there and you're saying, man, I did everything on that list. Did three of them this week. I'm not saying I did three of them this week. I'm just, you know, what happened. But what does the Bible tell us? We confess that. We don't lay on the ground. I'm walking out of the Spirit. I fell. I'm a mess. I'm laying on the ground. John says, confess that. God is faithful. He'll forgive you of that. That's repentance. And then you get up and you walk again after the Holy Spirit. You're not going to lie in that hallway forever if you trip and fall, right? You're going to get up and you're going to walk. And that's my challenge. Whatever struggle you're dealing with, whatever battle you're facing, get up and walk. Get up again. That's kind of the secret to the Christian life. Get up one more time, then you'll fall. Let me get a drink before we go to T-Drive. Okay, so this next verse tells us the contrast of the works of the flesh. That list, that was the works of the flesh. Now we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. How many of you would say, man, But this is my day, every day, that I have love, I have joy, I have peace. No matter what the circumstances are, I have peace, I have patience, I have kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you would say, I don't think I need anything else? Yeah. I mean, if you had all that, it's like, man, I've got everything I have. Now, here's the thing. This isn't a list. Paul's not saying, okay, go out and be patient. You ever done that? And you try to be patient? It works out really well, right? Or like, I remember taking Christmas pictures with, you know, with my parents. Like, smile, you will be joyful. Okay, awesome. And triumphant, yes. No, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Let me read something from Romans. Paul says this in Romans. He says, likewise, my brothers, you have also died to the law, to the body of Christ, so that you may belong, some translations say that you may be joined to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. Who's been raised from the dead? Jesus, very good. You've all been to Sunday school. Been raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit. Let's make sure we catch this here. Why are we joined to Jesus? To bear fruit. Now, the context of this Roman passage is marriage. Okay? He's talking about marriage. And he's saying, you were joined to Christ to bear fruit. Now, just in case you don't understand how this works, if there's a couple and they get married, and all the biology works together, and they're intimate, what happens? They bear fruit. Fruit of the womb. It's a child. What is Paul saying here? It is through being connected to Christ. It is intimacy with Christ, and a result of intimacy and staying connected to Christ, we bear fruit. We don't produce it in and of ourselves. It is through that connection with Christ. You want to bear fruit? Stay connected to Christ. Allow the Spirit to work through you. This isn't something we do. I mean, your fruit trees aren't out there like, bear fruit. How do they do it? It's by the tree staying connected of what's going through. Jesus put it this way. John 15, 4 and 5. He says, abide in me. What is abide? That's stay connected. That's make your home with me. Be with me. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch, you cannot bear fruit by itself. Okay? He's like, get off your flesh trip. It's not going to work. You cannot bear the fruit. He says, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. We've got to know who we are here. Stay connected. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. You want to bear fruit? Stay connected. Stay connected. Trust and believe in Christ. He says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And you know what's weird? People seek this their whole lives. I don't think people walk after their flesh in general because they say, okay, I just want to be evil and I want a terrible life. I think we do that because we say, I think this is going to bring me joy. I think this is going to bring me peace. I'm searching for love in all the wrong places, right? We're going through all these things because what do we want? We want what Jesus says, this is free. I'm going to give this to you. You have this within you because my Holy Spirit is within you. Don't pursue it out here. Pursue it through Jesus Christ. It is a gift. And here's the problem. We settle for cheap imitations. We settle for something less than what God has for us. We settle for temporary samples of love, joy, and peace. Very temporary. And God says, trust in me. Verse 24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is that walking. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. If I'm not producing it in and of myself, why would I be conceited? You know, that's going back to the flesh, saying, hey, look what I did. But when I know who I am, and I know who I am in Christ, and I know that it's Christ through Him, you know what my life should do? My life should point out. My life should point out to God. Romans 6:6, and the worship team, come on up and join me. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him. That old self that seeks his own way, that old self that says, hey, look at me, says, was crucified with Jesus in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we may no longer be slaves to sin. Before I knew Christ, I pretty much had to walk after. That's the option I had, was walking after the flesh. I was a slave to that. And Paul's telling us, no, you've died to that. You've identified with Christ. Christ has identified with you. He has put His Spirit in you. You're not a slave. You're free. And you have freedom to walk after the Spirit. I do not have to carry out the deeds of the flesh. And so what I need to do on a daily basis, turn, repent, and say, Lord, I walked after the flesh here. I did this. You already know that. But today, I choose to trust you. I choose to believe you. Today, I will walk after your Spirit. And we walk with Him. Let's pray. Lord God, how can we do anything but say thank you right now? Thank you that you took us from the miry clay. You took us in all our brokenness, and you didn't reject us, but you loved us. Your Son died for our sins and for our salvation. And then you bring us into your family, and you give us your Spirit so that we could bring glory to you, that we could live lives of abundance and freedom. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray today, Lord, that we would be a people of repentance. We'd be a people that walk after your Spirit. Have your way with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.